Okay, here we are at Yow, Brisbane. Oh yeah, I forgot about that. Greetings and salutations. This is Tony and Craig at Yow.
The reason you forgot was that we started recording before and the battery went completely dead about 12 seconds in. So
yeah, and take two. We're at the Brisbane conference, Yow, with no date.
With no date. It is 2018. We don't say the date.
Because we take so long to put the podcast out.
Yeah, I feel like we've said all that before.
I feel like it was a bit deja vu-ish.
Great keynotes today, Tony.
Fantastic keynotes today. In fact, I think, Kent Beck, can't go past that.
Yeah, we had a discussion to look out for him in the near future on the podcast. And Anita Singhgupta on the Hyperloop, which was awesome. Jessica Kerr yesterday.
Oh, Jessica was brilliant yesterday,
you're
I thought.
You're a bit of a Jessica fanboy now, aren't
you? Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah. Both her talks. And
yeah, nothing like shaving a yak.
There you go. More about that. We'll try and catch up with her for find out exactly what all that's about. And Brendan from Netflix as well, who bombarded your brain for an hour.
I think after I walked out of that afterwards, just saying it was like drinking simultaneously one of those iced drinks. My brain hurt. It was frozen.
Wouldn't take much to. all right. So anyway, we're vox popping, right? Huge conference. Easily about 400 people here, I reckon.
Oh look, yeah, and the diversity. You know, there's a lot of new people here that perhaps we don't know. Mm-hmm. Given that we're pioneers now, which I think that subs in for old.
Yeah, I was going to say pioneer equals old fogies, doesn't it?
Aged, perhaps. Yeah.
Like legacy, maybe is another word for it. Anyway, let's go and see if we find some people. At Yow Revolution Podcast, let's introduce this conversation. Right, sorry to interrupt, gentlemen. It's like you didn't know we were coming.
This is a Craig that I prepared earlier.
How you doing, gentlemen? Andrew Newman.
Hello, Craig.
And Mark Hibbert.
Hey, how's it
Mark,
going?
Mark, now you're speaking at the conference?
Yeah, I am.
Who are you speaking on?
On failure and change, so how things break, why I break them, why other people shouldn't.
Yeah, I think I joked in the intro that you were the master of breaking things and failure and those kind of things. But you made a bit of a job of that in your most recent in your recent roles. Doing some pretty awesome stuff around sustainability and keeping the lights on.
Yeah. So we do urban planning, sustainability analytics, peak load, energy usage, carbon footprint monitoring. So a whole bunch of different problems that are not selling ads to people, which is kind of useful.
Yeah, no. And so tell us a little bit about, what was the message in the talk? Because there was a lot of really good stuff in there, but what's sort of the key takeaway for folks who didn't get to see the talk?
Basically, a whole bunch of techniques from architecting systems, operating systems, and changing systems. Things that people might have heard before, but putting a reliability lens on them. So thinking about the statistics of why things fail, how things fail, and then go, well, the reason we do service architecture like this is because of reliability, or the reason we do deployment like this is because of reliability. So kind of simple stuff, but a reason for it is the goal. Yeah.
Cool. And I guess we're a bit of a triad. We've all sort of crossed paths in this town before on different projects. Andrew, you've got a red dot. You've been coming here since, I guess, the very early days. Does that mean that you're a frequent attendee, or you're just old?
I'm quite old, yes.
I've been there before as well.
I remember being in the tent when it was raining over at the kind of the international...
Park Royal.
Yeah.
Well, I forgot about that tent. Yeah.
And everyone kind of sharing lanyards.
That's it.
Someone was asking me yesterday, where was the first one? And I had to really scratch my head.
Opposite the Botanical Gardens. Yeah. And I do remember... just sort of none of us sort of fitting under the tent properly and it being quite rainy.
There you go. So over 10 years, what are things that you've sort of seen that have changed in this conference? I remember talking about really basic stuff. It seems basic now.
A lot less ORM talks and how to use Java properly, I think.
And object-oriented, the next wave.
That's right. And patterns, I guess, have sort of fallen away. I don't know. I remember there being a lot of industry kind of talks, like there were the IBM kind of talks on the original one. That's probably...
talks on Spring.
It was a much more technical conference back then.
No, there was always...
Just less vendor...
We always had like the Mary Poppendieks of the world and those kind of people always were... Was it the early ones? Yeah.
So, Mary was busy breaking brains then.
She's always been one of the standout attendees every time she's come here.
What sort of peaking your interest?
I still quite like the Hyperloop one, although I'm not much of a fan of the flying cars. I think that will probably destroy the CBD in some way. But yeah, no, it was. I think she was very convincing, so I wasn't ready to be convinced, but I think it was very good. Yeah.
I think her passion just made me convinced about anything. I think she could have tried and sold you, ice to Eskimos. That's a good idea.
I guess if you're shooting stuff off into space, you have to have a certain level of self-confidence.
I was just saying to someone before in the break, I can't remember whether she said it in the keynote or whether she said it to me privately, but she said, landing a rocket on the moon, nobody knows anything about parachutes and landing rockets on the moon. So I just had to go learn it. And I went, yeah, but you need to know a little bit of something about physics and maths in order to do that.
There's some fundamentals there.
I'm not going to learn everything I need on the job. So, yeah. How about you, Mark? You've been doing you're on the tour this year. And, yeah. And this will be, what, your second or third year, I guess?
Third speaking year,
Right, so that means you must like you. We invite you back.
I like you. Highlight for me is Kent's talk, which is coming up next here. It's excellent.
So what about that? I mean, that's an interesting idea, his whole 3X. You haven't seen it yet, so just a surprise.
I guess, so for me is that it's a whole bunch of things that I've seen before, but put in a framework that's really easy to understand and explain, right? So from a developer perspective and a hiring perspective, I find it interesting in that you're talking about there are people who only operate in one mode and they don't transition very well. And so I've worked in small companies where you're actually doing all three simultaneously all of the time. And I think, not quite explicitly, I've worked out that the best people to hire in those situations are people who are actually able to do like exploratory stuff, do like crazy expand stuff, and then do the value extract and the boring stuff as well. If you hire people who can do the really hard technical stuff but will be unhappy when they have to do boring stuff, it doesn't actually work out. So whilst it's good to hire really smart people, if you're going to make the board at some point, it doesn't work. So it's a really good framework for saying that you need people who can do A and B and C, or if you have a big enough team, you can have people dedicated to each of those things.
I hadn't thought of it quite in that lens. I think the thing that I really took away was here's because there's nothing new in that whole, we need to, obviously have a great idea, do something with it, and then keep it running, right? It's the old model, but here's this way of, it was like TDD was the same. It's like, really, red green refractor, what a fantastic idea.
Take
something that was actually quite complex and made it really simple for people to digest.
Yeah. I had good conversations with people in the hallway afterwards in that there were a whole bunch of people who I thought probably before that talk wouldn't have been able to hold a conversation about it, but afterwards could, right? Which means that it's kind of distilled it into something understandable.
We just had the pleasure of sitting with him for close on an hour and podcasting with him.
Okay, cool.
And, it's great to see him emerging back into the community and pushing XP back up the chain.
Yeah,
exactly. Well, great to see you guys again. Enjoy the rest of the conference, and as you were, second time around for you. Thanks, conversation. Thanks, gentlemen.
Cheers, no worries.
For those who don't know, we did start recording and did already interrupt them and came back and sounded very surprised again. This is very interesting. We're walking past here, a bunch of people who are wearing headphones.
While the guy's talking.
Yeah, they're doing a silent, lightning talks are what I'm looking for.
Why is it I'm expecting them all of a sudden to start clapping their hands to Radio Goo Goo, Radio Gaga?
So, because you're old, Tony, once again, right?
That looks like it, doesn't it?
That's very, because, we're in the conference hall and you can hear the noise behind us, actually. We're even a quiet part of the hall. So they're all wearing headphones and they're listening to a talk and probably not disturbing us. It's a great idea.
Yeah. Except if somebody like us walks through the centre of it.
Well, but it doesn't matter because they're just listening to the talk. All right, let's keep wandering around, see who we can run into in the Brisbane community. Other highlights for you, Tony, while we're walking?
I still can't go past Jessica's talk. I think that was the shaving the yak and the different types of yaks.
What about that specifically?
I just think the practicality of it. It's not so much the terminology of the yaks. It's the way Jessica takes really basic concepts that people struggle
to... Here's Randy. How are you doing, Randy? Craig and Tony from the Agile Revolution podcast.
Hi, Craig and Tony.
I know you're walking with a plate looking for some food. We quickly interrupt you. Loved both your talks at the conference series. Your talk, which was an expose on things we can learn, that everything old is new again. And this afternoon at this conference, you're also talking about being, I guess, it's like peopleware.
Engineering yourself or how our attitude can, if we can change our attitude, we can be more effective as a person or as a leader or as an engineer.
Mm. So yep. What's it brought you to sort of share those ideas at the conference?
So those particular ideas are ones that I think we all, you know, have struggles in our lives, and I had a few in the last couple of years. My father passed away, a bunch of other things happened, and recognizing I learned a bunch of things about myself, and then I went and read and learned the science behind what was. Thank you.
There'll be another. They took his plate. There'll be another clean plate. We'll make sure.
As long as the food's still there, no, it'll be good. It's just a lot of stuff that I don't want to say discovered, but like learned about myself, and then found that these are very common things. So, you know, one aspect is about the growth mindset. You know, this idea that we always have the opportunity to improve, and we shouldn't look at somebody who's been successful and be jealous of that. We should be inspired if we can be, and we shouldn't. When we make a mistake, that's like an opportunity for us to learn, as distinct from feeling bad about ourselves. And then there's an aspect that I talk about, trust, which is obviously super important in organizations and also in your personal life. And then the last area that I talk about, which maybe I spend most of the talk half of the talk talking about, is confidence. First off, how important it is for us to have confidence, again, professionally and personally, but also talking about some ways that we can bend the curve for ourselves and get better. And there's a lot of really interesting research on the one end, on imposter syndrome, on people feeling that not confident in, you know, that they're imposters in what they're doing. But there's a lot of interesting research that says if you just start trying to do things, even if you're terrible at it, I mean, almost especially if you're terrible at it in the beginning, but you just keep getting better and better, just simply doing that. And this is something that I don't talk about in the talk, but I've definitely observed in other people, not me, is some of the people that are the best and most effective engineers, turns out they were athletes in their younger life.
Wow.
Yeah? Interesting. Yeah. And I'm thinking both men and women, actually. And this wasn't me, but as I observe them, I think that it's one of those things where like they learn how to learn, and they also are very comfortable with being terrible at something, you know, like nobody wakes up and is a championship rower or, you know, a black belt in a martial art or something like that, right? Like, I mean, there's very literally, like, you start out with the white belt and then you just slowly but surely get better. And I think there are lessons in that for all of us.
Well, a couple of great talks, and I think the imposter syndrome thing resonated with a lot of people. I've had a lot of conversations in the hallway about that, and I said the other talk where you went back and looked at things like Skunk Works and Xerox PARC and shared the stories about your father as well, and that's really cool. There's some of the cool stuff that he did.
So I mean, that goes both ways, right? I mean, it's really wonderful. He did. Why would anybody know this? He was one of the early guys that built a bunch of computer graphics stuff at Xerox PARC in the 1970s. So if you use a modern paint program like Microsoft Paint or Mac Paint or something like that, the metaphor is super familiar, where there's a palette on one side and you choose your brush and isn't it ellipse or a line or dots or whatever, and then you have a canvas that you draw on. And that's something that he did 45 years ago, which is crazy. So he didn't do this himself, but he inspired a bunch of other people that were his collaborators there, and one guy, Alvy Ray Smith, went on to co-found Pixar with Ed Catmull, so it's just like there's this whole thread of both entertainment and software that, you know, if you keep going back, it sort of starts with his work. And so that's a wonderful thing that, you know, he's given to the world, and, you know, like he's invented stuff that didn't exist, and at the same time that's kind of tough to live up to. So there's definitely an imposter syndrome kind of angle there, where as I've shared with a few people, like I've loved math and computers my whole life, but wasn't like he discouraged me from doing it in any way, whether it explicitly or implicitly, but like looking at him, I was like, oh, well, I'm never going to do that. So clearly I better find another thing to do. Not because like, it wasn't in any way unpleasant, but just simply like, oh, well, that's what a computer scientist does. I'm not going to be able to do that. I guess I better find another way to make an impact on the world, you know, in some completely different field. So for a long time, I thought I would be an international lawyer. And I actually started doing grad school in law and international relations. But I found my way back to software through a bunch of weird coincidences, and I never looked back. I really like it.
We're glad you did, and we're glad you shared your experiences at the conference as well.
Great.
Well, let's continue on to the food table.
We'll let you find that new place.
Thanks. All right. Great to see you, Tony. Thanks for your crack.
Cheers. Randy Shelp, speaker at the conference. You were introducing him this afternoon.
Yeah, it was nice to have some background. I'll be introducing him.
So now you're all clued up and know what you're talking about?
Now I need to figure out what to say.
Exactly. Who else can we spy? I spy Dave Thomas over there, but he's deep in conversation. We won't. We are good at just shoving a microphone in people's face, but
well, that's true.
But we respect him too much. Yeah. That's the same about everybody else.
Well, you know, I see Brendan Cleary standing over there.
All right, well, let's walk that way.
Walk around like so. And we go. Sorry to interrupt, guys, but we're going to anyway. Craig and Tony from the Agile Revolution.
We're about to be podcasted, mate.
We got Brendan Cleary.
Yep.
That's it, yep. How you going, guys?
Good. We're just asking the question, what's the highlights of the conference for you?
Ah, interesting. So you guys were at DDD, weren't you? I see you guys around?
No.
Oh, okay, right.
It was a spirit.
Okay. Right.
Any spirit.
So I guess probably the highlight for me has been, when I looked through the list, there were a couple of slots there where I was sort of thinking that probably didn't relate to me quite as well as I thought the previous conference had, but turned up I was quite surprised at some of the value that I got out of the conversations without even really expecting to. But
can you give us an example of that? What's your normal job?
So I'm a solution architect at the moment for Tabcorp. So I'm sort of thinking high level, but I've got a lot of low level concerns that I'm interested in hearing other ways that other people have done things. So for example, Jess's first keynote yesterday. Yeah. Sort of turned up to that thinking, this doesn't sound like it's immediately applicable to me, but there were some beautiful things in there that I just took away and went, yeah, we just all walked out going, everyone's talking about it. Great conversation. And then her later conversation.
Oh, the shaping the axe, right?
The axe, absolutely.
We were just talking about that walking up here. So, yeah. What was your outtakes of the shaping the axe that stuck with you?
Just trying to think. The fact that she classified the axe was very, very helpful in me to get my head squared away. And the conversation around when's the time to stop? That was probably the thing that got me. So, yeah, those are the things I've taken away. Nice low-level applicable and some high-level exciting things as well.
That's awesome. Brendan?
I think this morning's keynote was amazing. Blew my mind. Just the scale that the team at Netflix, the amount of stuff that they pump out and the things that they're giving to the, like from an open source perspective to the community, amazing. And just how massively big his brain is just amazing. And the hair, the amazing hair on top of that.
Yeah. Look at the big brain on brand.
It was like, you know, when you drink those frozen drinks and you get a brain freeze?
Yeah.
And you get, oh, my head hurts. That's how I felt.
That's exactly
how everybody walked out of there going, that guy's two levels ahead of us.
Yeah. I think the thing that gets me, though, is you quite often hear, we're not a music streaming or a video streaming company. But when you think about the number of customers and the volume of data and stuff they put through there. I mean, there's a lot of things that a company like, in your case, Tabcorp or something can learn. I mean, you can say, we're handling money and those things are different, but they've got a lot of important stuff, right? And I think we sometimes go, we can't do it like that. And actually, it's like, well, we probably do have to do it like that.
Yeah. I was going to say, 2 years ago, they set the bar this high. 2 years later, they set the bar higher. Yeah. And now it's aspirational now, isn't it? It's one of those things where you look at it and go, that's what's possible.
Still, most of us are still 2 years behind trying
to
hit the original bar, aren't we?
Exactly right. But see, it's good to have that beacon out there, that lighthouse out there.
It is. And what I particularly liked about the way he positioned it all, like exactly what you said before, he put all the Netflix stuff there and go, I don't know. But then he'd give you a plane drawing and you can go,
here's the generic.
Right. Now I see.
It's true.
It's amazing. I like the fact that they're pushing, Oracle and whoever else and contributing to each of those code bases to make sure that we can all benefit, which I think is really awesome.
Yeah, great community, isn't it?
hopefully.
We can raise some prizes over here, and I don't know whether you guys need to listen in on this or
yes,
whatever.
Your company. Yeah.
All right, thanks for your time, fellas.
Thanks, guys.
All right, let's keep walking.
And talking.
See Dave Thomas. Let's quickly grab him.
Oh, it's our annual grab of Dave Thomas.
Dave, 10 years of Yao. Did you think when you got dragged for beers in 2007 that you'd be here 10 years later at a conference this size?
Absolutely not. I was sure we wouldn't. Yeah. But no, it's been a great ride. And great to be back here in Brizzy. So,
yeah, it goes great from community. Strength to strength, Dave. And the Brisbane community needs something like this.
Well, I really see a change this year. I think there's a lot of smaller companies, more people, sense a lot more energy.
You can hear the energy right now.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah.
No, cheering you.
Yeah, right, sure, yeah. There's large prizes being given away behind me. Yeah. I think I just see it more and more, and I think that's it's more distributed. Often you have the sort of big sponsor and so on, and then... Now it's really much more about, even in Sydney for that matter, I think.
Yeah, I think
we see a lot more. So we're seeing we sort of had a divide, independence, small company, and then large company. Now I think it's much more balanced in representation. And the people from the large companies that are here, I think, are also a lot more technical and focused.
Yeah. It's definitely a large, we saw it, we were talking about it before as we walk around, the diversity here is amazing this year. You can actually see the difference from the years gone. For someone who's been coming to them forever.
Well, and I know everyone went through a big hit here about 5 years ago here, and things got set back, and it was kind of tough for people, but it seems like now it's like every place else. Where I need good guys, where are they?
And I think the keynotes this year, wow. Really, really exceptional.
Yeah. Every year we go, oh no, I have to do better than that.
Yeah.
Fortunately, people forget. Yeah.
Interesting, the buzz, we're talking to everybody, and the buzz is all around Kent.
Yeah.
Everybody's waiting for Kent.
Yeah.
That's been 10 years in the making, hasn't it?
It's been a while to get Kent. Well, because while he was at Facebook, he wasn't really traveling at all. And we're pleased to, after he left in, I think, February or so, we were talking to him. And great to have him, and it's a great keynote. So,
looking forward to that.
Well, congratulations on 10 years, Dave, for you and the team who've put on an excellent event every year.
Well, thanks to you, Craig, and you two for helping out.
Always happy to make sure that we could do our bit for the community,
Oh, thanks, Tony. So, okay. Yeah. Take care, guys.
We get to do another tick on our podcast because I don't think we've missed him yet. For a number of years.
Oh, we try to drag him. We'll grab him wherever he walks around. Thank you, Dave.
Thanks, Dave.
So, yeah, Dave Thomas. O-O Dave Thomas.
Yeah, O-O Dave Thomas, yes, as opposed to the other Dave Thomas, who, by the way, is here.
Yes, 2 days. Yeah,
just to confuse everyone.
His badge in Sydney was actually saying the real Dave Thomas. he wrote on the top of that. Yeah, he's doing a surprise giveaway. There's a little bit of noise in the background, but that's okay. We'll continue to walk through that. So kids continue wondering what else have you seen, Tony? What else is? What talks have you said? And we saw actually I spy someone right here right now. Just walking away from us. Michelle Playfair.
Aloha.
Agile Revolution Podcast. How are you doing?
Hello, I feel like I've just been papped.
You have been, yeah. We sent Dave in to hold your attention.
Well, I was going to take a photo of the awesome crowd, but okay, fine. Hello.
You can do that and talk to us at the same time.
I can do that. No, I can't. No. You have my focus. Good. Hello, gentlemen.
So you're executive director of Yao these days?
I know. Neither do I. Much arm waving, cat herding, and general gesticulation, and a lot of eating and talking to people, which is great.
So, but your background is in the agile space, and
amongst other things. Amongst yes. Other things.
Hello, Tony's doing a live. Hello, Tony.
And we've stopped talking. See, multitasking is hard.
I can't do that.
Yes, I think I ended up in agile after I realised, in a very short period of time, you can write a book on rubbish agile when you've been working in such an environment. Banks. Sorry.
Yep.
Something got stuck in my throat there. Sorry. I love all my current, former, and future banking clients. Everybody's doing their best.
Yeah, no, you've worked at some interesting places over the last few years, particularly your last place, doing some interesting things there. What are some of the trends that you're seeing, sort of piquing your interest? And lots of interesting things we talk about, the conference, for example, for the agilist to look out for.
Well, there's definitely a two-step journey that I see, and I've seen this in Melbourne, in Wellington, and in other places as well, that you have a lot of bigger organisations that are further behind on their journey who are playing catch up a little bit, and then you've got the faster moving organisations that kind of understand the basic concepts and they're already looking as to how to level up. So they're the ones that are looking into the holacracy, sociocracy, and getting a lot more into that kind of next level, where do we go from here? And you know, there's that whole, oh, is this even agile anymore? Well, whatever it is, it's kind of the next thing after you've done the basic hygiene. And for me, those are the fun places to work, because you don't have to have the same conversation over and over. No, there is no unicorn. No, there is no silver bullet. No, you will not wake up one day in the morning and go, hallelujah, I've been transformed. I'm now agile. Which I think... I think some people... Actually, no, that's not true. The way some people still talk about it makes it seem as though they think that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, it's like I always say, there's no genie moment, right? I don't have a hair and I don't have a looks and I can't make that movement to make everything suddenly appear.
True, true. So that's the part that's interesting for me, is like what's coming next.
And so your first year at Yao, and so I don't know whether you'd be like me or my first year here when I went, three cities, I can see every talk.
Yes.
And that never happens.
No.
any highlights that you've seen, things that really stood out at the conference so far?
Oh, man, there's too many to mention. I guess I've got to say Jessica's talk, her keynote, because I'd read about it online and I thought, wow, this Samathasy thing, which I can't say, that's something that really resonates with me. And then when I found out that I was going to actually get to see it live, I got very, very excited. And I've got a sticker now, so I feel very, very happy. But gosh, you know, there's so many. It's really hard to single out. And even some of the ones where I didn't know what to expect. And that's what Yao's like. You go to a talk and you go, oh, well, what's this about? And then you come away just thinking, that's amazing. Avdi's no-code talk, as a probably more of a post-technical person, and I sort of thought, well, you know, I'm not really a developer anymore. I can kind of put things together when I need to, but yeah, those days are over. And that's what his talk was about. You're still doing development. Development is gluing things together. You're still a developer when you do that. And I was like, thank you, man. I just feel that was quite inspirational to me, thinking that, yeah, okay, I'm going to go forth and look for more things to glue. Which at Yao, I think there are some things we can glue a little differently.
Awesome. Well, brilliant. We'll let you go and take your photo now. People have kind of dispersed.
Now that everyone's dispersed. fine. Thanks, guys.
You can blame it on us.
Cheers.
Right. Enjoy the conference.
Thank you.
Excellent.
So a few moments away from the keynote, which I have to run in and introduce. It's going to be a rock star moment. Me introducing Kent.
Yes. It's going to be brilliant.
I was looking for a good friend, Uncle Pete. He's like a...
He's dodged us today.
He's a regular on the podcast.
Uncle Pete.
Yeah, Pete Sellers, right, from New Zealand.
From New Zealand, but he's...
Always comes to the Brisbane Yao conference to hang out with his good mates.
And this time he's managed to hide from us. Yeah, and us as well, yeah.
But yeah, lots of really good stuff happening here.
Yeah, I think, the general buzz for everyone we've spoken to so far, It just keeps getting better and better every year, and that's more power to it. The community gets bigger and better and stronger in Brisbane. I'm sure it's with the other Yao conferences, but we've certainly seen Brisbane grow.
Indeed. And one last scan of the room here. There's just so many people here. It's hard to even see through the wood for the trees, as the old saying goes.
Yeah.
Actually, here's someone sort of walking this way I would actually like to talk to very quickly. Dean Wampler, right, the Agile Revolution podcast. How are you doing?
Hey, good. How are you guys?
So how's the conference going for you?
Oh, it's been amazing. I have to say, there aren't too many conferences these days where I want to go to every single talk, and I'm never disappointed when I do, and this is one of them.
Well, really great. Well, I'm never disappointed in your talks. So what are you talking about this conference, Dean?
So I'm talking about... what if you use microservices based on Kafka as a data backplane to do data processing rather than more common tools like Spark and those sort of things? The argument being that really it's twofold. One, you don't often need that kind of heavy hitting that a big tool like Spark provides. So you can use a lighter weight tool, especially if you have tighter latency constraints. And the other advantage is if you already have a mature infrastructure for running microservices, you know, building, deploying, all that stuff, you can just, you know, plug this right into that infrastructure without having to, you know, figure out how to bolt on a bunch of new tools that maybe don't fit.
So in your abstract, you talk about now the term fast data.
Yeah.
How is that different, and how does this all fit into that?
Yeah, so fast data is one of those buzzwords you invent so that it sounds cool.
Well, it sounds cool to me.
It's very cool. Yeah.
It's really kind of sort of a play on big data. It's, you know, going more towards this idea of processing things as quickly as possible, which usually means in a streaming context, as it comes in, as it flies by, rather than parking it in a big file system or something and coming back later to analyze it. So it's I see them as synonymous, whether you're talking streaming data or fast data. They're really the same thing in my view.
Excellent.
If I asked you to pick a highlight out of all the talks you've seen so far,
yeah,
what would it be?
Oh, gosh, where do I start? I really love Kevin Henney's retrospective, if I can use that word, on 1968. Just a fantastic talk about how many things we already knew back then but haven't internalized. That was extremely good. Sort of at the other end of the spectrum in terms of, like, diving into details, Dave Cheney's talk on working with Kubernetes containers was very practical. And also Michael Vedstedt's talk on how Java is being changed to better work in a container-based world was also really timely and also very, very good.
Yeah, there's always these trends in this conference every year, and the Kubernetes container.
Yeah,
it was big a few years ago, and then it just became common, and now it's really sort of it's sort of that lease of life, where now people are really starting to exploit the value.
Yeah, exactly.
Of technology.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Excellent. Well, great to have you out here again, Dean, for the conference set.
Thank you so much for having me. Enjoyed it so much.
Good thanks for taking time to talk to us.
Yeah. Meet you. All right. Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah. See you.
Dean Wampler, speaker, and hell of a nice guy. I got a chance to spend a bit of time with him the last time he was out.
Excellent.
Well, I think that's probably a wrap for us, Tony. We're about to go back into session.
You're about to go and do your fanboy moment?
I am. I think I might take my book up on stage and brag or something.
Lovely.
Well, we only got one other thing, last thing to say. Tony, what's that?
Again, from Yow
Brisbane.
Conference Brisbane, not telling you the date.
Yeah, 2018.
Viva la revolution!
Happy Yowing.